Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
You may be owed some money. After 911 and 411, call 541. That's 727-541-1741. Call Gulfstream Motorsports for a diminished value report. Due to my 28 years experience in the auto salvage business, I'm very good with wrecks. So if your car's been involved in a wreck, call me for a diminished value report. Call 727-541-1741. You may be owed some money for the lost value of your repaired vehicle. And visit us at GulfstreamMotorsports.com.
Looking for car shows? Then look no further than flacarshows.com. On your computer or on your mobile device, flacarshows.com is a comprehensive list of automotive events, plus videos and news articles. Whether you're looking for car shows, cruise-ins, meetups, automotive festivals, cars and coffees, or anything else relating to an internal combustion engine, then this is a site for you. Check it out online or on your phone at flacarshows.com.
Worlds collide. Written in the stars is a message of doom for this, our world. And now, in the most shattering experience the screen has ever given you, Paramount tells what could happen within your lifetime when worlds collide. An astronomer checks and double-checks his horrifying discovery. A distant star racing through space toward an inevitable collision with this planet. The United Nations meet in emergency session. All conflicts pale before this threat from another world.
If you wait until the danger is visible to the naked eye, it will be too late to escape.
High on a mountaintop, an army of scientists work desperately to build this giant rocket, this modern Noah's Ark to carry a few picked survivors of our doomed civilization to a new life on another world, reaching the heights of self-sacrifice, the depths of the animal lust for survival as they fight to be among the few who can be saved.
Let's take the ship away from them! Come on!
Fighting among themselves, fighting against time, as doomsday is upon them.
I think all you scientists are crackpots.
Nothing is going to happen.
When worlds collide, you'll see the most amazing, awe-inspiring scenes ever put on film. The forces of nature unleashed in all their terrifying force. Tremendous tidal waves smashing New York City. The molten fires from the bowels of the earth gushing out to consume our world.
The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
In the Everglades, there's a way of life. It's a way of peace without stress or strife. There's a fellow bear who protects these rights. Lincoln Vale of the Everglades. They'll fight for rights and the homes they've made. Simple grassroots people of the Everglades. There's a natural danger and a man to face. Lincoln Vale of the Everglades. The man on patrol in the Everglades. Moving, ever moving through the Everglades.
This evening, because all the lawyers in LA are busy fighting with NBC, the lawyers lost.
Very interesting. What do you mean, very interesting? It was stupid.
Yes, it was stupid. But it was also very interesting.
It was not as interesting as it was stupid.
Nonetheless, it was still interesting. Stupid. Interesting.
All right. It was interesting.
But it was also stupid.
Hey, I'm Christy Lee from All Girls Garage and Barrett Jackson on Velocity, and you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
All right, listeners, welcome. You're tuning in to Nostalgic Radio and Cars. I'm your show host, Robert. Run your computers and Google TanTalk1340.com, and you can see me live here in the studios in downtown Clearwater. Don't forget to check out our website, GulfstreamMotorsports.com, where you can find out all about us, and you can watch me screw up. How are we doing, Matt?
We're doing fantastic, and don't worry, it's not all your screw-ups. I have them occasionally, too, so it's not all on you.
Hey, okay, now how's the sound coming? I don't know, because I know we've had some people say something about it.
Sounds all right for now.
All right, if anybody's listening and the sound's not coming out right, be sure and text me. No, call
the studio and yell at me.
Yeah, 727-441-3000. But anyway, yeah. All right, so where
I was going to say, before you get into it, you can yell at me and not Robert. Why? Because he's the Kurt Hennig of the radio station. He is Mr. Perfect. You don't hear that name very often, do you?
No. Okay, so anyway, oh yeah, and don't forget to check out Nostalgic Radio and Cars, where you can find out. Wait a minute, Gulfstream Motorsports tells you all about us, and then Nostalgic Radio and Cars is all about the radio show. Anyway, all right, so we're back here in the studio. It's Tuesday. What time is it? 7:13. All right, we got a very special guest for you. We're going to continue with Women History Month, so we have a very interesting lady coming on in a little bit. And yes, I still have this crazy cough. Dr. Pappas told me, if she's listening, that it's bronchitis, but we don't know that for sure. We're just assuming that. But I've been taking lozenges and vitamin D and zinc and copper and all kinds of magnesium and the stuff you put in the car. Anyway, it's an oil, you know, something like that. But at any rate, okay, so we're going to be talking about some of this cool stuff. Anyway, this past weekend we had the St. Pete Grand Prix. Very exciting, I might add. I was there on Thursday. I went to the media center, and I actually had a brief introduction with Scott Dixon. Scott Dixon's actually one of the winningest IndyCar car drivers. He drives for Canassi, and you know, when I do these interviews with these people now, I follow cars, sports cars, racing, vintage mostly. Okay, so the newer stuff I'm not really into. There's plenty of guys out there that cover Daytona, cover you know, sports car racing, cover NASCAR, cover IndyCar, cover Formula One, and so on. Our show is more of a human interest show. So basically, our job is to meet the individual and talk about them. You know, so people want to know, well, who is Scott Dixon? You know, we know he's this great race car driver. It's kind of like when we had Bobby Rahal on. Everybody knows Bobby Rahal is this great race car driver, and team owner, team manager, car dealer, all this stuff. But there's another side to Bobby Rahal. You know, Bobby Rahal, the average guy like you and I, and you know, he collects cars, well, and works on cars and wrenches and tinkers and rides motorcycles and all that other kind of stuff. So there's the human interest side, and that's basically what our show is about in terms of interviews. We are cover the human interest side. Let the serious broadcasters go and do the interviews. And you know, it's funny because I was standing there watching them, and I kind of, you know, like this was a question. Scott Dixon, okay, so you've been here, you know, 10 times since the first Firestone Grand Prix. What do you think your chances of winning are? What a question. I would never ask anybody that. And you know what? He got asked that like 5 or 6 times because I was standing there waiting. And I don't think that's really cool because, you know, what people don't realize, racing is a game of attrition, okay? So they had a couple newbies there. And I think Joseph Newgarden won. He was driving for Penske, obviously. And in fact, if you go to our website, Gulfstream Motorsports or Nostalgic Radio Cars, there's a picture of myself with the former governor of Mitch Daniels, former governor of Indiana, Roger Penske, Chip Ganassi, and myself. What are the odds of getting Roger Penske and Chip Ganassi in the same pitcher? Pretty cool. And so I talked to them for a few seconds there. But I don't, you know, they're in a race. And to them, this is all business. Okay, so, you know, and there were some of the other drivers there, like Helio, whatever his name is. You know, everybody was going nuts over him and some of the other drivers. And that's fine. You know, that's their job. But my job as a radio show host, interviewee, is to kind of cover the human interest side. So I invited Chip on the show. We'll see if we get him. I invited Roger back on the show. We did an interview with Roger many years ago, and we focused on the old stuff. And then after the interview, he actually said to me, he goes, Robert, you know, that was pretty interesting. I don't get a chance to talk about the good old days. So that kind of struck a chord with him, which was kind of important because that's a very important part of where they are today. You know, Roger Penske Perfect, the captain, you know, I mean, he's the man, you know, so to speak. So anyway, on that note, I think what I'm going to do is big shout out to my friends out at Fastlane Travel. If you want to go fast on the Autobahn, don't forget to check out FastlaneTravel.com. FloridaCarShows.com is where all the cool car shows are that are taking place around the state of Florida. Coming up here in another week or so is 12-hour Sebring. It's usually the third week in March. Excuse me. Let's see, what else we had this weekend? Okay, so there's a big event up at NPD. Didn't get to go to that. There was a big event at HSR event at Sebring. I didn't go to that. And then there was the Gator Nationals, and I didn't get to go to that. But I did go to the St. Pete Grand Prix, and that was fun. Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. But I did sleep at Holiday Inn one time. Anyway, on that note, Matthew is going to fire up the stereo. We're going to play, because Brett Michaels was there from Poison, and I actually got to talk to him for a few seconds. He's a pitcher.
And I've met him a couple times, probably one of the nicer dudes I've ever come across to come out of music.
He really was. I mean, he was on stage, he was cool, and then he kind of like was the guy that started the race. Gentlemen, start your engines. And so we invited him to come on the radio show. We'll see. We might get Brett Michaels on. So here's a little Brett Michaels, and this is one of my favorites that they do, Poison. I think it's Unskinny Bop. Is that what it is?
Yep, Unskinny Bop.
All right, we're going to Unskinny Bop, and then I'm going to get back in a few seconds where we'll have our guests on the show. And don't touch that dial. You're tuned in to Nostalgic Radio and Cars. We'll be right back.
Can you take care of that? We gotta rehearse this. We'll be right back.
Okay, we're back. And let's see. I was talking about the St. Pete Grand Prix. So, you know, it's pretty exciting. Oh, yeah. You know who else was there? Mario Andretti. Mario Andretti was on this little Chinese scooter, and it was kind of comical a little bit. Excuse me. And
that's hard to imagine Andretti on a Chinese scooter.
Well, what happened? I mean, you know, these are like their pit bikes, okay?
Right.
So what happens at the beginning of the race, if you have a paddock pass, you can get out on the grid, okay? So all the drivers, all the team owners and everybody, which, like I said, you know, Canassi and Penske and everybody like that was out there. And so Mario Andretti was heading out there. So he's on this little scooter, you know, and all of a sudden the thing starts malfunctioning. And, well, everybody just, you know, clamors to go get pictures with him and everything like that. So here he is. And he was really, really, really cool about it. We had Mario on our show probably back in 2011, 12, somewhere around there. Anyway, so, but it was so funny because, you know, with cell phones, everybody does selfies. So people were just, like, in line, just jumping. He's trying to get the thing started, and he's being very, very personal. He actually signed some autographs and stuff like that. It was pretty cool. I got a picture of it. It's also on our Facebook page, and it's pretty cool. And but there was a lot of other celebrities, a lot of race car guys. There's sports people, you know, there are athletes, and everybody, like, running around. And everybody's kind of incognito. And then one of the guys that I didn't get a chance to meet, too, but he was there. He's kind of an enthusiast, car enthusiast. He's one of the big sponsors, and that was Robert Palmer of RP Funding. And he was actually at our luncheon. And they had a box up there, and of course everybody else was up there. Another guy that was up there that we talked to for a few seconds was Kim Green. He's pretty much the CEO of the Firestone Grand Prix. And so I will tell you that they've done a very, very good job. It's easy to get around. I also ran into some of my good friends from SCCA. So if you ever want to get into sports car racing or club racing or solo racing, check out SCCA.com. That was a lot of fun talking to those guys. I hadn't seen them in a while. And they're still out there. You know, the sad part is we're all getting older, but we're still out there wrenching and turning wheels and smoking tires and all that other good stuff. But the St. Pete Grand Prix was a lot of fun. The crowd was pretty, pretty good. And then on Saturday night, Bret Michaels gave a live concert, and it was packed. And, you know, it was kind of comical because, you know, here, I was never really into the 80s hair bands, you know, and I, wouldn't it be fair to say that Poison was a hair band?
That would be very,
you know,
fair.
And Great
statement.
White is a hair band, and whoever, but Metallica was a hard rock metal.
Nirvana was a hair band.
Nirvana? No, they were grunge.
All right.
They came later. They were in the 90s. But anyway, but so, you know, so I was never really into a lot of Motley Crue, hair band.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Probably the best. And, of course, the song Girls, Girls, Girls is the all-time strip club song, right?
That, and still my favorite drum solo of all time is Tommy Lee at the start of Dr. Feelgood.
There you go. There you go. Anyway, all right, so much for that. On that note, I think we better fire this other song on and get our guests on here in the show here.
Yeah, let's do it.
But definitely check out the St. Pete Grand Prix next week, next year. It's a lot of fun. And the crowd, like I said, was amazing. The racing is exciting. And, you know, they had the Indy Lights. They had the Indy cars. And then they had the little sedans that they run around in, the SCCA cars. So, yeah, a little something for everybody. So pretty cool.
It's a well-balanced show.
Yeah, and it's on the St. Pete Grand Prix. And I got to tell you, St. Pete has done an amazing job over the last few years. It really, 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 I mean, Saturday night, the place was rocking down there. I mean, there's just all kinds of places to go. They really got St. Pete is really fixed up really, really nice. So my hat goes out to all the people down involved in development. And, of course, my friends over at Ferg's Sports Bar. I got to give them a big plug.
There you go.
All right, go ahead. Let's fire up that stereo again. Let's drop a needle in the groove, and let's get something going.
All right, what do we got?
Harry Chapin. We're going to play Taxi.
All right, let's do it.
Did you do it? All right,
here we go.
Well, let's go for a taxi ride. All right, you're tuned in to Nostalgia Getting Cars. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back with our special guest for the evening.
She got in at the light. Oh, where you going to, my lady blue? It's a shame you ruined your gown in the rain. Just looked out the window. She said 16 parks I think. Something about her was familiar. I could swear I'd seen her face before. But she said, I'm sure you're mistaken. And she didn't say anything more. It took a while, but she looked in the mirror. Then she glanced at the license for my name. A smile seemed to come to her slowly. It was a sad smile, just the same. And she said, "How are you, Harry?" I said, "How are you, Sue?" Through the too many miles and the too little smiles, I still remember you. Somewhere in a fairy tale, I used to take her home in my car. We learned about love in the back of a Dodge. The lesson hadn't gone too far. You see, she was gonna be an actress, and I was gonna learn to fly. She took off to find the footlights, took off to find the sky. Whoa, I've got something inside me to drive a princess blind. There's a wild man wizard, he's hiding in me.
Scroll through Havana's Instagram geotag and you'll see countless photos of colorful cars. The streets of Cuba are teeming with 60,000 classic American cars, and it's an iconic experience for the island's visitors. A majority of tourists can tell a story about riding down the Malecón in a hot pink Chevy Bel Air or driving through Havana City Center in a baby blue Cadillac. But how did these classic cars get there? And more importantly, why did they stay? In the 1940s and 1950s, Cuba had a strong urban middle class, and this class had a passion for American cars. Cuba imported over 125,000 American cars, and at one point, Havana was considered the Cadillac capital of the world. Shortly after Fidel Castro came to power in 1959, a ban was placed on imported cars and car parts. American tourism to Cuba came to a halt, and 1.4 million Cubans left the country, leaving behind their families, homes, and cars. These abandoned cars were passed on to family or friends and became prized possessions, with owners who were willing to do whatever it takes to keep them on the road. Cubans turned to their ingenuity. Parts from tractors or lawnmowers became makeshift engines, and shampoo turned into brake fluid. The cars are a symbol of hard work, but they're also a source of income. A Cuban driver can make more in an hour than a Cuban doctor makes in a month.
Hey y'all, what do you get when you cross Suzanne Summers and Goldie Hawn? You get Linda Vaughn. And I'm listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars. Why don't you?
Okay, we're back into Two Nits and Nostalgic Band and Cars. It's time to introduce our special guest for the evening. This lady, it's interesting because we just played a little clip about cars in Cuba. Well, this lady is a photojournalist. She's also the spy car lady, but she also conducts tours, and you're welcome to go aboard, to Cuba, sightseeing and seeing all kinds of cool things, especially experiencing the American cars and the car culture down in Cuba. I'm delighted to welcome to the show this evening, Brenda Pretty. Brenda, how are you?
I am terrific. How are you?
Pretty good. Since I played that because I wanted that to kind of segue into your trips and your tours to Cuba, because in the last couple of years, there's been a lot of interest in cars down in Cuba, and then especially some unusual barn finds down there. One in particular was allegedly, I don't know how true it was, a 300 SL Gullwing Mercedes. Of course, that hit, you know, the media like everything real quick. But anyway, I wanted you to share some of your stories and tell people a little bit about your experiences. And if people want to join you, how do they go about doing it?
You know, they can just send me an email, brendapretty@gmail.com, and I'll get back to them. And I've heard about that SL. I've seen photos of it. I've been trying to track it down, and I've heard more rumors since the discovery of it. It may or may not still be in Cuba. It may have left Cuba in part. you know, and technically you can't take a car out of Cuba. So I'm not quite sure what condition it's in or exactly where it is. But I'm hoping to find out more when I go back in May.
Okay. So tell us how your adventures to Cuba begin. Now, I also want to go and just touch base because I've got connections, friends in Puerto Rico. And, of course, we know over the years, because racing was real big, particularly in Mexico and South America, there was a lot of cars that were discovered there. So I'm not sure if you've ever been to those places, but since you've been to Cuba, let's talk about Cuba.
Okay. So you want to talk about the cars in Cuba or how to get to Cuba?
No. The cars in Cuba. What? If I wanted to go on one of your tours to Cuba to see cars and experience it, tell me how the whole process would be or take place.
Well, it's very, very different for an American to go to Cuba than, say, a Mexican or a Canadian, European, or whatever. We have laws that are set forth through the U.S. government. Actually, through the Treasury Department. So where a lot of people visit Cuba and they go to the beaches and they stay in these wonderful all-inclusive resorts, Americans aren't allowed to do that. So we go to Cuba under the regulation supporting the Cuban people. And we go there and we bring things they need. We stay in private homes and B&Bs. We eat in private restaurants versus the big ones in Cuba. And we see a very different Cuba than most other tourists from other countries see. But we are involved, too. There's a wonderful a company. They build cars, or they restore cars the best they can, and they do tours, and you know, most of the cars in Cuba are not in good shape. You know, they're basically held together with Bondo and electrical tape and some fancy welding. But these people, the other people, seem to really invest a lot in their cars. They find the money, they get the parts from the States, and they're basically show cars that they drive around Cuba. So there's a big contrast between all the different cars you see.
Okay, so like, for example, when you're talking, you know, you guys stay in Airbnbs and you kind of hang out with the locals and stuff like that, is the island actually segregated? So if you are a non-American, but you're a European or of any other nationality besides American, and you can go to the high-end side of the beach, or high-end side of the island, is that... give us kind of an idea, because most of us have just looked at Cuba on a map. Okay, so we know it's just an island. How is the island broken out? How is it defined?
Well, you know, it's not necessarily segregated in that way, but there are places that we're not supposed to stay. And the reason is because most of the big hotels and the resorts, they're owned at least in part by the Cuban government.
Okay.
And that money that you would spend there goes to the defense of Cuba.
I gotcha.
And so the government doesn't want us to support the Cuban military. So it's not really segregated, but we're not supposed to stay in, you know, the hotels, and at least most of the hotels that are owned by the government. My very first trip there, I don't think rules were the same, and we actually did stay in an all-inclusive resort on the beach the first time. That was in 2013. But since then, things change. They change every few months when you go to Cuba. So it's difficult to keep up with all the rules and regulations.
Now, I've been to South Florida many times, and there's a huge Cuban / Hispanic population down there. As a rule, the Cubans are very industrious, very clean, very educated for the most part. So, as a contrast, tell us what the island is like. Is the island clean? Is the island, are the people, I mean, you know, what's the lifestyle like for a lot of those people? Is it, are they able to have a small business? Are they able to do, I mean, because, you know, it's communist, supposedly. And so, you know, from our perspective, you know, as because I know a lot of Europeans that go to Cuba, and they go to the other side of the island where all the resorts are, but they don't go to the main part of the island. Let's say that, like, they don't go anywhere near, because Havana is pretty much communist occupied, correct?
It is, but there's still some really nice tourist places there and really nice hotels in Havana, so it is a destination.
Okay, so then and then in this little video I played, it shows, you know, these guys driving around in these really, really nice cars. So if I was a tourist, let's say not necessarily American, but from anywhere else, Europe, and I wanted to ride and tour the island, these people are basically able to. I'm able to get in this 1957 Chevrolet or this 1956 Cadillac or whatever else might be rolling around there, some sort of open car, and ride around the island and basically tour the island with these particular drivers and their vehicles. Is that true?
That is. And there are differences. You know, if you use a regular taxi, that would be government-owned. Most of these drivers are independent now, which is wonderful that they're able to do that. A few years ago, the government wanted them to paint all of their wonderful cars yellow, like taxi yellow. And fortunately, that did not go over, and people didn't have to do that. Because, you know, it's nice to distinguish all the different cars of the 50s. But, yeah, you could pick up taxis. You can advance a tour, you know, book it in advance online, or you can go there and just go to the city square in Havana, and they'll show you a card with all the different tours, and you pick what you want, and you can tour Cuba that way.
Okay, so when you do your tours, you're basically, like you said, bringing some of these people essentials. Okay, do you have to deal with duty and all that stuff when you bring essentials to Cuba to these people?
Not right now. There was a time that you would have to, but they're really hurting right now. Cuba has just asked the UN to help them with food and powdered milk and things like that. And those are the kind of things we're going to be bringing, you know, powdered milk and maybe vitamins, over-the-counter medicines that are very difficult to get. Most Cubans, the government will pay you about maybe it went up to $25 a month. And, you know, it's very hard to get anything for that. That's why the people, like your little video, they said taxi drivers make more money, and they make a whole lot more money than doctors and other professions. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
You know? But they make do with what they have. They're wonderful people. It's a very clean island. And they're wonderful, gracious people. You know, they're glad to see the Americans. You know, of course, we help their economy. But they're very glad to see us. There's very little crime on the island. I've never experienced any personally. So it's a This is generally, you know, you always have to be careful wherever you go, but it's generally a very safe place to be.
What's the nightlife there? So, in other words, if I were to go with you and your group, how many people are generally in your group?
You know, my group is about 10 to 12, so okay. It's a small, intimate group.
Okay.
Nightlife, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say. Well, so if I'm there and so tell, give, so if I get up in the morning at 7 o'clock and I have my coffee, my Cuban coffee, I might add.
Your Cuban coffee.
Yeah,
right.
And then of course I'm going to have my Cuban sandwich at lunchtime, and then mm-hmm. I'm not sure what they eat in the evening. But give us tell me how the whole day would proceed. What would my day be like?
Oh gosh. Well, you would get up in the morning, like you said, at the B&B. The hosts would make us a wonderful breakfast. And then we would get together with our group. Well, this time we're hoping to all stay at one larger B&B. Sometimes we're spread out a little bit. Power stays on because they've had a lot of power outages lately in Cuba. But, you know, that's to be expected. It's pretty much a third world country. But we will get in one of our classic cars. In the past, we've had a converted, like, van. It was a truck that they built into a van.
Mm-hmm.
They make a lot of, I don't know what you would call it, but they modify a lot of vehicles there to work for them. But we would tour, whether it's, gosh, there's so much to tour in Cuba. You know, we might go to a school, we might go to a senior center, we might go to one of their museums, which are wonderful, a cigar-making factory, which is very tight on security. You can't take any backpacks or even cameras in there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much to see. We find a wonderful place for lunch. Sometimes it's right there overlooking the water. And there's so much to see. You know, there's a museum at the Bay of Pigs, which is fascinating.
Uh-huh.
And the nightlife is pretty interesting. We usually go to a place, I think it's called the Art Factory, and it's a pretty, it's just unbelievable. I mean, there's dancing, there's music, there's art displays, and there are people walking around in costumes, if you want to call it. Sometimes they don't have very much clothing on, but it's an art place.
Okay.
And there's also different types of shows, you know, at night. The bar scene is big. The music and dancing, it's everywhere.
Okay.
So it's just terrific. You can be out all night. You know, usually I'm not because I have to get up early in the morning. But there's dancing and music everywhere.
Okay. Now, you're a photographer kind of hobbyist / by profession, okay? So when you're down there in Cuba, because photographers are kind of, you know, they have it's like I always just tell people, it says there's always that Kodak moment. You got to frame a picture just right. And kind of, you just have to be there. And then there are some photographers that are always specifically looking for that a certain shot or an image or, you know, it could be landscaping. So when you're down there and you're doing photography, what are you looking for? What do you focus on? No pun intended.
Oh, my gosh.
Focus.
Yeah. I focus on everything. My first trip there, I took 60,000 photos.
60,000?
I know, I'm still going through them, and that's
wow.
Just like 2013. You know, I photograph the cars, and mm-hmm. I photograph the cars because the people that follow me like to see the cars.
Okay.
And I like some of the details on the cars. I'm a detail person.
Okay.
And lately, I've been photographing, and it's not easy for me. It's very difficult, but I've been photographing the people.
Okay.
And making some huge pieces for different galleries around here of people. They're candid photos, and they just show so much detail and so much emotion and character. So I've been doing a lot of that. A little architecture, I find that very difficult for me, but it just because I'm not an expert at that. But, you know, a little of everything. But the people and the cars are really my favorite thing.
Well, they tell a story. You know, it's just like they said, take a picture, it's worth a thousand words. Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because the last two trips to Cuba, I kept on stumbling upon weddings.
Oh, really?
And, you know, weddings, people coming out of a church or getting into a car from a park.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, being a photographer, I continuously take pictures. And so I have some great, you know, brides and grooms in these old cars and just fun stuff. I do, like I said, mostly candid, and I do photos that I like to think anybody can do. So they're photos that are taken in available light. And, you know, you just have to be patient to get what you want.
Oh, absolutely.
But, I take a lot.
No, that's good. Well, you know, the beauty of today with technology is you have a digital camera. You can just go click, 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 click. And it's not like back in the day where we had to go, geez, this is going to get expensive. You know, I got to get this all processed. Uh-huh. And today it's just wonderful, I think.
Oh, definitely. I know, you know, you mentioned that I did spy photos. And I did spy photos from, 1992 until like 2013. And talking about expensive, I would be out in the middle of nowhere, literally like Death Valley or somewhere, and I would be shooting some prototypes of future cars, and I would have to drive 150 miles to get the film developed. And at first, people only wanted slides, which even made it more confusing. but, you know, I have to drive 150 miles, wait to get it developed, and then find some place to send it, you know, out, FedEx to everybody.
All right.
So the technology is a lot better in that regard.
So since we're on that subject right now, let's talk a little bit about that, because I kind of wanted to split the show up a little bit, talk a little bit about, you know, your Cuban trips right now and the cool cars and what's going on down there, which is very, very interesting. And then let's talk about how you became the spy car lady, because I think that was kind of like when Kevin sent me the email, he says, yeah, you need to check this lady out. She's this spy car lady, and her name's Brenda Pretty. So I said, okay, let's do some homework, and let's find out who she is, and let's get her on the show. So for our listeners, tell us a little bit how it all started for you, and give us some really cool stories.
Well, you know, it started in 1992, and previously, I live in Arizona, and previously we would often stumble upon future cars that were being tested, you know, for 2 or 3 years away from production. But we never did anything with it. And in 92, I had my little kids in the car, and I drove past a grocery store, and there were some prototypes in the parking lot. And I didn't know what they were, but I took some pictures. And it turned out they were the 1994 Mustang. And we ended up selling it to Automobile Magazine, who put it on the cover. So my first spy photo was a cover shot, which was pretty exciting, and I got paid pretty good for it. And then my phone started ringing. People thought that I did this professionally, and they would call and ask me to go to different places and look for the test cars. There was a European publication that called me once and gave me...
You're breaking up. Are you there? Matt?
Somehow...
Okay.
Did you lose me?
No. Well, you're breaking up. You're kind of coming in and out there. I just thought I'd let you know that, so...
Okay, yeah. I think it's my phone. Is this better?
Yeah. You're fine now. Great.
Okay. But
were you driving your Volvo 544 the whole time? You there? Hello? Matt, I think we lost her.
We did.
All right, call her. Try to get her back on the phone.
All right, keep going.
All right, I'm going to keep talking here. But anyway, so while Matt is trying to get Brenda back on her phone, or if she calls us back. She was taking these spy photos, and I had to ask her if she had, and Alan appreciate this, because she has a 1960 Volvo 544. Now, I guess the early ones were P P5. Well, Alan, you're going to have to send me a text. Do we have Rebecca?
And Alan can worry about the text later. Brenda's back on with us right now.
All right, Brenda. All right, back. No, my question
was... Sorry about
was,
that.
No, no worries. Were you driving your Volvo at the time?
No, I bought the Volvo about 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
After my photos. Which is an interesting, well, sort of an interesting story. But, I don't even know what I was driving.
Well, you had a family car and you had your kids with you, so...
Yeah, probably a minivan,
Or a Pinto.
No, it wasn't a Pinto.
Okay.
But, that was how I got into it.
So were these spy cars, these camouflage cars, were they kind of like a common occurrence in a certain area of the... Was it the Phoenix area where you would see them and then you'd have to... Follow them out to Death Valley, which is, what, another couple hours away over there in California?
Oh, gosh, 8 hours or so, yeah.
Oh, is that far away? Okay.
Yeah. Now, the first cars that I would see regularly were in Phoenix. We were near all the proving ground, you know, all the places the manufacturers normally did testing. But I lived in a little... Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I'm fairly familiar with Phoenix, okay, because I know where the Sun City side is, I know where the Mesa side is, I know where the Scottsdale side is, and obviously down by the racetrack, is it still called Firebird Raceway?
I don't know, they keep on changing the names, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Okay, so the proving grounds were basically, would it be fair to say, southeast Phoenix, is that pretty much right?
They were actually surrounding Phoenix, depending if you were talking about Volvo, Chrysler, GM, Toyota, Volkswagen. So, yeah, they were all around. I lived not too far from Firebird Raceway.
Okay.
I could actually hear the cars all the time. But I lived on a circular loop road in my development, and there were no stop signs. And apparently... they decided to do some slow, 25, 35-mile-an-hour testing on this loop road because they could continuously go around it, and there were no stop signs.
Oh.
And I lived four houses from this road. I mean, I could see them passing. So you would think that after I shot the Mustang, they wouldn't stay in the area. But they did, whether it was their van... whatever the Ford van was called at the time, the Ford Aspire, which was what an awful name for a car. the European Fords, the Mondeo, tested by my house. Just a little bit of everything. And between my house and the grocery store, that was like my first 4 months of photos. Every week I would catch something else.
So, what is the rarest car that you basically were able to sneak a picture on?
Oh, gosh. Probably the Bugatti? The
Veyron?
Yes, the Veyron.
No kidding?
I have pictures of the Veyron in Death Valley. And then the engineer actually took me to dinner that night. It was bizarre. He expected me to go back to his hotel room with him. But that is another story.
Okay, we won't talk
about
that.
I did not.
It's a family show.
Yeah, well, I did not go back to his hotel room.
I believe you.
But it was... I had my daughter with me anyway. But, it was just bizarre. He couldn't understand, He's telling me that he drives the fastest car in the world. Why wouldn't I go back with him? But that's a completely another story.
So when you first started doing this and you started catching the cars running around your neighborhood, then how is it that you morphed over to Death Valley? Did you meet people? Did they talk? Did they say, well, look, if you want to get some other pictures, follow us out to Death Valley? Or how did the Death Valley come into play?
I didn't even know where Death Valley was. And I got a call from a British magazine and they said, would you go to Death Valley for, a short while and get some test cars? And they were willing to pay me. So, and they were also, pay me and pay all my expenses. And so we made a family vacation out of it and, spent a few weeks in Death Valley and you know, before I knew it, I was spending 4 months at a time in Death Valley in the summertime during the hot weather testing.
Just for our listeners, now, I've been through there, and I believe, if I remember correctly, it's 130-plus, right, in the summertime?
It is. And, you know, that's the place where they record the temperature. They don't publish the temperature recorded in the hottest part of Death Valley, which is interesting, but it's not recorded.
Really?
They record it officially in Furnace Creek. They don't record it or publicize it in Badwater, which is actually hotter than Furnace Creek.
Well, that's because the equipment's probably melting.
That's true. I was told that NASA has equipment there, but I don't know how to access the records of it.
Interesting. So the Bugattis, how about Porsches? Were the Porsches out there and Ferraris?
Oh, I'm trying to think. Most of the Ferraris that we shot, people that work with me in Europe got those. But Porsches always tested in Death Valley. So we tons of Porsches. And Mercedes was, Mercedes, BMW. And then the other companies like Hyundai, Kia, and all of the American companies.
Now, did they all like stay at a certain hotel? What's the accommodations like during Death Valley? Are there a lot of hotels?
There's two hotels primarily. Well, three hotels.
Okay.
And some of the engineers would stay at the hotels, and they might have private garages near Death Valley that they can store the cars in at night so nobody sees them. And then they might stay in places like Pahrump, where they have, the other racetrack now.
Right, uh-huh.
Or they might stay in Las Vegas, which was about 90 minutes away from Death Valley.
Okay.
So we always, and if they stayed in Vegas, they kept the cars in parking garages, and I had people there that would be waiting for them to pull out.
And then, so basically, you did this professionally for publications. They contacted you, and you did this for a number of years. And then these are the spy photos that we see in Road and Track, Car and Driver, maybe Autosport, which is popular in Germany or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, we have them all over the globe. Yeah.
Now, all right, we're almost up against the clock here, Brenda. So if people want to find out more about you and follow you on Facebook, social media, how do they go about doing this?
There is a Facebook page. It's Brenda Pretty and Company.
Mm-hmm.
I do a little bit on Instagram, not a whole lot, but a little bit on Instagram under Brenda Pretty. A little bit on Twitter, but not too many photos. But most of the photos are on Brenda Pretty and Company on Facebook.
Now, my next question is going to be, because we got about 20 seconds, 30 seconds, something like that. How about a book with all your accomplishments? Have you been thought about putting a book together with some of these amazing pictures? Can you do that, or are you precluded from doing that because of maybe copyright or something? Ford says, no, you can't just show this picture. This is all past tense now anyway, right?
Oh, yeah, and I own the copyrights anyway, so there's no problem. People have asked about it. I've never done it. They've also asked about autobiographies that I started 5 years ago, and I was supposed to be done by a big birthday, and that was 5 years ago. And I think I have 3 chapters done. It's hard to write about yourself, and stuff. So, and you don't want to say, you don't want to talk about certain things either.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Well, Brenda, we're at that point where the checker flag is coming down, to coin the phrase. But anyway, or the shutter speed is going to go. Anyway, but I want to thank you very much for hanging out with us here at Nostalgic Radio and Cars. We appreciate the stories. It's good talking about Cuba. It's good talking about the spy cars. Wish you all the best of luck, and we'll get you on the show again here down the road sometime, and all the best to you.
Terrific. You should come to Cuba with us. Thank you for having me.
I'm thinking about that. You got my interest. All right. Brenda, take care. Hey, in the meantime, I want to thank all my listeners for tuning into Nostalgic Radio and Cars. Don't touch that dial. We'll be here next week, 7 to 8 p.m. on the 10 Talk Radio Network. Tell your friends, follow us, and get out there and drive your cars. Go to some of the car shows. Stay safe, drive carefully, and love your family.